Welcome to the Science Dog Podcast. I am Linda Case, your host and author of The Science Dog. Today, we continue our discussion of omega-3 fatty acids in your dog's diet. Before we begin, I would like to let you know about the Science Dog courses. These are online nutrition and health courses with a bit of behavior and training thrown in for good measure. We offer webinars, short courses, and longer courses for those of you who wish to do a deep dive into canine nutritional science. There are even some free webinars, and who doesn't like free stuff? To learn more, just visit the Science Dog courses at courses.thesciencedog.com. That's courses.thesciencedog.com. So now let's talk about fat. Today we look at some research that reports what you may find, and unfortunately what you may not find, in a dog food that is labeled as containing omega-3 fatty acids. So let's talk about fish and fish oil and the types of fat that these pet food ingredients can contribute to your dog's food. So first, a bit of background. Dietary fat, more specifically fatty acids, are classified into families. Two of the most important are the omega-6 fatty acids and the omega-3 fatty acids. Both types are important in a dog's diet, but a well-balanced diet contains optimal amounts of both omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids. Three fatty acids in the omega-3 family are of interest nutritionally. These are the parent omega-3 fatty acid called alpha-linolenic acid, often abbreviated as ALA, which is found in flax seed, borage oil, other vegetable oils, and some nut oils. Alpha-linolenic acid can be converted into two larger, or called long-chain, omega-3 fatty acids. These are eicosapentaenoic acid, often called EPA, and docosahexaenoic acid, called DHA. Although most mammals can convert some ALA to EPA and DHA, this conversion is not highly efficient. Rather, the best converters of ALA to long-chain omega-3 fatty acids are algae. As a result, fish species that consume algae and other fish that consume those fish are the best concentrated sources of EPA and DHA in the diets of both humans and dogs. Most nutritionists agree that the best way to increase these beneficial fatty acids in dogs' diets is by enriching a dog's food with the oils of salmon, sardines, herring, whitefish, or menhaden. So, what is so special about omega-3 fatty acids? Well, omega-3 fatty acids, and in particular EPA and DHA, have important functions in the body. Appropriate amounts of omega-3 fatty acids support normal neural development, the cardiovascular and immune systems, skin and coat health, and reproductive fitness. Increasing omega-3 fatty acids in a dog's food may also have some slight to moderate therapeutic benefit because of its dampening effect upon the body's inflammatory response. For example, increasing the proportion of omega-3 fatty acids in the diet can aid in the management of chronic joint pain due to arthritis and may reduce itchiness due to allergic skin problems in some dogs. In addition, DHA is important for the development of a healthy nervous system and vision in fetuses and in newborn puppies. So this brings us to the question, are commercial dog foods a good source of EPA and DHA? A challenge regarding omega-3 fatty acids is that optimal levels to include in foods are not well defined, and levels found in commercial dog foods vary enormously. For example, in one study, researchers at the Norwegian School of Veterinary Science measured omega-6 and omega-3 levels of 12 different brands of commercially available dog foods. Analysis of the foods showed a wide range of both types of fatty acids, While some foods were almost completely devoid of marine oils and the specific omega-3 fatty acids that they provide, others contained omega-3 fatty acids, but primarily in the form of alpha-linolenic acid from plant oils. This is an important finding because often only omega-3 content is reported on the pet food label and it is not split out into DHA and EPA. So if the omega-3 fatty acids are supplied primarily as alpha-linolenic acid, for example from flax, the health benefits that come from EPA and DHA will not be provided at a level you would expect by that food. Which brings us to, do pet food labels reflect actual omega-3 content? This is an additional concern because a recent study conducted by a group of researchers at the University of Maringá in Brazil, decided to compare the fat content that's reported on the labels of 10 different dry dog foods with laboratory measured profiles of all of the omega-3 fatty acids, including DHA and EPA. So let's take a quick break before we look at what they found in these foods. So what did the researchers find regarding how well the label claims for omega-3 fatty acids matched the actual omega-3 fatty acid content of the 10 commercial foods? Well, all 10 foods reported total omega-6 and total omega-3 fatty acid levels, and 5 also included EPA and DHA content on their product labels. However, when the researchers measured these fatty acids in the food samples, they found a different story. So first, chicken fat. In all 10 foods, a lipid profile that was consistent with and then identified to be chicken fat appeared to be the predominant fat source. Technically, this was not inconsistent with the food's labels, as all of the foods did report including chicken fat in their product. However, when graphic representations of the lipid profiles, of the fat profiles from the foods, were compared with the profile of pure chicken fat, the results suggested that chicken fat, not fish oils, was the predominant fat source in all 10 products. What about DHA and EPA? Well, although 5 of the 10 foods reported minimum DHA and EPA levels in their foods, something they're actually not required to do, neither DHA nor EPA were present in any of the foods. This is important enough to repeat. 5 foods reported EPA and DHA levels. These are the good omega-3 fatty acids that we're looking for. However, none of the 5 foods actually contained either of these 2 long-chain omega-3 fatty acids. Rather, other omega-3 fatty acids were found, including alpha-linolenic acid. This inclusion led to total omega-3 fatty acid levels that did conform to label claims. Further analysis showed that none of the lipid profiles of these foods were similar to those for either sardine oil or salmon oil, which are 2 primary sources of EPA and DHA in pet foods. So, what could be the causes of these discrepancies? Well, the researchers speculate that the lack of EPA and DHA in the samples could be caused by 1 of 2 possible things. First was destruction or oxidation of the long chain unsaturated fatty acids during the heat processing of extrusion. And second, mislabeling. The manufacturers of the food had not included DHA and EPA in the first place. It is worth noting here that label claims for fatty acid content are required to reflect minimum levels in the final product, not prior to processing, which kind of negates the plausibility of the first explanation. The authors of this study conclude, and this is a quote, "The information displayed on the commercial dog food labels are in disagreement with the results obtained for the fatty acid composition analysis and for lipid profile analysis in this study." It seems like it's soapbox time. Well, this all does seem rather fishy, or more fittingly, not fishy. I've written about misbranding of pet foods and label claim problems before on the Science Dog blog. Most studies of this nature have examined compliance between reported protein sources in commercial foods and their actual protein content. However, this is the first study, to my knowledge, that examines potential discrepancies between label reports of fat content and measured values of fish oil, omega-3 fatty acids, and EPA and DHA in commercial dog foods. If it is a dog owner's intent to choose a food that provides omega-3 fatty acids, this study suggests that reading about these fats, in particular DHA and EPA, on a food's label may not always be reflective of what is actually in the product. As an aside, the foods studied in this report were purchased in Brazil. However, the international nature of the pet food industry suggests that at least some of these brands are available in other countries as well. And I should also note that the brands were not identified in the study. So, what is a dog owner to do? Well, remember that the best source of the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, DHA and EPA, are algae or fish. If you desire to increase your dog's intake of long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, look for the presence of fish such as salmon, whitefish, menhaden, meals, or fish oils on the food's ingredient list. Alternatively, if you see no fish products and instead see flax, flaxseed oil, or canola oil high on an ingredient list, this means that the omega-3 fatty acids that are in that food are in the form of ALA, alpha-linolenic acid, which is important, but which will not provide an enriched source of EPA or DHA. And of course, when in doubt, contact the food's manufacturer. Ask how and if they actually measure DHA and EPA, and ask to see those numbers. Misbranding seems to be, sadly, a relatively common problem in the commercial pet food industry. One way to combat it is to demand more information and increased transparency from pet food manufacturers. Purchase foods from manufacturers that answer your questions and readily provide you with requested information. Purchase from manufacturers who you trust and that produced honest products with verified label claims. If you are looking for a food that has increased omega-3 fatty acids and enriched levels of DHA and EPA, remember that there actually should be something a bit fishy about that food. The title of this piece on the Science Dog blog is, "Does This Taste Not Fishy to You?" The references can be found on that blog as well. To read it, visit thesciencedog.com. Remember, that's thesciencedog.com.